Well, I've been talking about it all day. The new Netflix film, A Futile and Stupid Gesture, is getting great reviews. It's the story of Doug Kenny, one of the founders of National Lampoon. Kennedy started the magazine, did the stage show Lemmings. I have a record of the stage show Lemmings. I found that somewhere. Today has been a day. I do a segment called The Swap Meet, where it's on every Thursday with Greg Flamm, and he comes in and people call in with, like, I've got this one thing I collected, I've got this, that, and he tells you what it's worth. Today alone, I've been like, with National Lampoon stuff alone, I've been like, I've got this, I've got that. For the first time, it's like I'm in therapy, and I'm like, oh, I just realized I have that whole box set. I have the box set of National Lampoon Radio Hour, and I have the record of Lemmings, like the full. I got it for like $1 at a garage sale or something. Anyway, the show Lemmings, Kenny did. He also wrote a couple of small films called Animal House and Caddyshack. If you're a film buff, you might know those. But otherwise, maybe you don't know those. But still, a film starring Will Forte and a ton of great comedic actors, A Trip Down Memory Lane. And it's a great telling of a story that defined American comedy as we know it today. The film based on the book, A Futile and Stupid Gesture, How Doug Kenny and National Lampoon Changed Comedy Forever. It's written by Chicagoan Josh Karp. Karp has been along for the ride. He was on set. He was at Sundance for the premiere. Josh, who has been on this program before, returns tonight. Congratulations on seeing your book made into a film. What's that feel like? First of all, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And thanks for being here. But I mean, what is that? I mean, this whole experience, it's not like it's even an indie film. This is kind of the January moment for Netflix.
Yeah. I keep saying it and it feels stupid, but it was really surreal. I mean, the whole thing kind of as it's been going on, which has been going on for 8 years or 9 years, but really intensely for the last two. You never kind of like go like, oh, yeah, and it'll really be on a screen someday and there'll really be people in it.
I remember you telling me, oh, yeah, it's an option for a film. But that, yeah, that was, I mean, when did you write this? 10 years ago?
The book is 12 years old.
Wow.
I told the screenwriters, I was like, you guys did an awesome job. I'll work with you, you know, anytime you want. And they were like, I think we can totally get the process down from like 12 to 7 years. They're like, I think we've
efficient.
Got it now.
We've learned. Well, yeah. I mean, you wrote the book. And why don't we start right there? I mean, why did you write this book? What was it about Doug Kenny and National Lampoon that attracted you as a biographer?
You know, I mean, I grew up at the right time. I was 12 when Animal House came out. I was 14 when Caddyshack came out. I was 10 when SNL went on the air. So that all that kind of comedy came during my formative years. And then honestly, what happened was I grew up here, but I got sent to a boarding school in Boston for my sophomore year of high school. And I continued. I graduated. I didn't get thrown out or something like that. And my Saturday mornings very quickly were spent in the library serving detention every Saturday. I can't remember what I did.
I'm learning a lot about
you.
Yeah,
I know. We're going to get really deep into this. As long as my mom's not listening, this is good. So anyway, so I would, instead of doing my homework, I'd go to the periodical room and read magazines. And like in October, I think of, 1981, I picked up Esquire magazine one Saturday morning. And it's got Doug Kenny on the cover, and it's this cover story, The Life and Death of a Comic Genius. And Doug had died the prior summer, so summer of 1980. He'd fallen off a cliff in Hawaii really mysteriously after the release of Caddyshack. Yeah. And I read the story, and it's not like something I was like, oh, I'm totally obsessed with this guy, but it was a really poignant story. It kind of felt like half of the story was told because it was so close to his death that it was inordinately dark. Amusingly enough, my dad got me a summer job in the mailroom at a law firm in Chicago that did his company's legal work. And, he thought it would help me be a lawyer. And of course, everybody works in the mailroom's like a degenerate, right? and all you do is make fun of the lawyers. And the guy who ran it has every copy of National Lampoon ever. So I spent the whole summer reading all that, like through it, the 1970 to 1980. So,
That did it.
Yeah, so that did it. But it wasn't like, this driving passion in my life. But it was something I always...
But it's good enough to sink your teeth in as a writer.
Yeah, well, what happened was, in like about 2003, I think, I'd been doing magazine articles for quite a while, and I wanted to do something longer. And I had an opportunity to talk to an agent. And I had to come up with an idea, and it was just like, boom, Nobody has written Doug Kenny's story.
Which is hard to believe.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think some of it was people were really reluctant after that article and after his death. You know, there was a lot of, like, you know, kind of pulling together, and we don't talk about our friends dying, and we don't talk about that stuff. So I was really lucky. I got in right when people, you know, were finally comfortable to speak again.
You know, the book and the film, they talk about the life of Doug Kenny and National Lampoon and the people who were involved with it. And it's a lot of, like you said, shaping American comedy in the film and the book, of course. I mean, you're talking about the cast of Lemmings essentially became the cast of SNL.
Sure.
Belushi, Radner, Bill Murray, even people who weren't on SNL who changed American comedy, Harold Ramis.
Chris Guest.
So, I mean, these are really, I mean, New York City at the time. When you say, you know, this really changed American comedy or exemplifies American comedy, you couldn't, I mean, you're right on. I mean, the National Lampoon was the genesis for what we know to be Saturday Night Live and everything that's come after.
Yeah, and it was a huge change. I mean, because before that, you know, George Carlin was still wearing a tie. You know, it was still, you know, kind of like, you know, even Lenny Bruce and those guys, you know, I mean, they weren't all wearing ties, but they were still performing kind of like traditional stand-up right. routines. And they had this real kind of outsider-ish thing, you know, where they were, you know, I mean, a lot of them were Jewish, which was, you know, kind of this natural outsider position. And these were Harvard guys, you know, and they were, you know,
popular
Protestants and Catholics and stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
So they were part of mainstream America in a different way than those guys.
The material doesn't necessarily feel that way, but the movie kind of presents it as they were just a really crazy frat.
Yeah,
and you see that with Animal House and Caddyshack too. But I mean, there really is a play on that. You're right that they almost became the mainstream comedians, if you will, like sort of set the tone for that.
Right, and they did what. Ever they wanted and but did it in a really sharp way. I mean, they were really smart magazine people. You know, they hired incredible people. It was one of those things where there was no world for somebody like Michael O'Donohue, who went on to be
one
of the
big writers on SNL. Yeah,
yeah, first head writer at SNL, right? Who was just this totally demented maniac. And you know, he was doing like weird underground comics. You know, and doing all kinds of strange stuff, and all these people had no place else to do what they did. So there was all this talent out there, and nobody, you know, there weren't comedy shows that were like, wow, we'd really like the crazy guy,
right.
You know, who screams and throws the phone through the wall every
well,
day.
Well, so much of that story is dominated by SNL's story. Saturday Night Live with Lorne Michaels, they took that. It became almost a Genesis story. But it is true that National Lampoon had all of this talent. They were the ones that collected the talent, made it easy for Lorne Michaels and Second City and other places. But National Lampoon really doesn't get the credit it deserves. Saturday Night Live kind of dwarfs their story.
Right, right. And you know, and I think there were opportunities for the Lampoon to get into that business, and their publisher, who, I mean, God bless him, he took a huge risk on these guys, you know, was kind of like, television, you know, and right. Somebody said, oh, you know, you ought to keep guys like Belushi and Murray under contract, you know, just when they're not doing anything so that you kind of own them. And he was like, those guys are a dime a dozen. I mean, honestly, it's because they were in partnership with this guy who was like a real operator.
Yeah, you know, the movie, it's Weight Watchers, right?
Right, who ran Weight Watchers magazine, yeah. But who, you know, like I said, who had the nerve to fund their magazine and to stick with them and to trust them.
Josh Karp, my guest, he is the man behind A Futile and Stupid Gesture, How Doug Kenny and National Lampoon Changed Comedy Forever. His book turned into the film, which is right now a hit on Netflix, starring Will Forte and a slew of great actors. Tom Lennon was great as Michael O'Donohue.
Oh my God, he was fantastic.
And Joel McHale as Chevy Chase. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, Josh, and you could tell us about the experience of being a fly on the wall, watching them shoot this and get it up in the film festivals, and of course, the success it's having now. Josh Karp, my guest on The Download. Stay with us. Josh Karp in studio with me. We're talking about the amazing feat to get his book, A Futile and Stupid Gesture, How Doug Kenny and National Lampoon Changed Comedy Forever, from a book to a film that's doing great on Netflix. It's the talk of the town. I was telling everyone, you go to Netflix, it's the first thing that's on there. They got Will Forte's face with that wig, and they're just like, right. Press play. How'd this happen? You know, because we talked about the story and the book came out 12 years ago. Was it automatic where the book came out and they said, yo, we're going to make this a movie and then hurry up and
no,
wait?
No, I mean, it was a really, you know, long process and it was not a linear process in any way. The book got optioned very quickly by other people. Okay, so what happened was initially, I think Griffin Dunn bought the option on it. I don't even think he and I ever spoke. You know, he owned it for 18 months.
Hollywood's so fun.
Yeah, oh no, it's like crazy. You know, and they pay you a little bit of money, you know, and right. Which is nice. And it got the option to be a documentary at one point, and that actually moved along but didn't come through. So I worked on that. And then it got optioned by a guy named Ken Kwapis, who directs a lot of TV, but at the time he had directed Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. That was all I knew, and I was like, I don't see that guy directing the Lampoon movie. I don't know. But he was a very nice guy. Anyway, so what had happened was, though, right after the book came out, I had gotten a phone call from guys named John Abood and Mike Colton, who were Harvard Lampoon grads. They'd run the Modern Humorist website. And we're working in TV. They were on all those VH1, I remember.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
Whatever.
The 90s.
Best week ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were really, you know, it's funny because I talked to them and I was like, God, they are so enthusiastic about this. And they immediately had so many ideas. But other people were willing to you know, take out the option, like, right away. And so we went with the other people. And then when it came up again, you know, they had done a couple they had written for some TV shows. They had written, you know, a couple movies, not big movies, but they had written, you know, movies that were real movies that got produced that had real people in them. And so they got their manager, their management company kind of manages like everybody, or like, you know, 80% of the people in comedy in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And so their manager, this guy named Peter Principato, who is great.
Yeah, I know Peter.
Yeah. Yeah. So Peter got Ed Helms and David Wayne on board. Right immediately, I'm just like,
sure.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. I'm like, I'll bet they're on board. Right? So,
but it's true. Peter, yeah. he reps everybody.
Yeah, no, he does. And, yeah. and you know what happened? This has got to be, I mean, I'm guessing that was like 2008.
Okay.
Right? So very quickly, they wrote a script and it was great. I had always kind of thought I would like to write the script for it. And when they sent me the script, I was kind of like, okay,
yeah,
better than anything I could have ever done, you know, and they're great guys. And we consulted a lot and they were, you know, very open about the whole process. Like I couldn't have been more, you know, anything I wanted to be involved with discussing with them, they were super cool about it. So what happened was for, you know, like 6 years, it was like, you know, oh, the guys, I think at one point, the people who made Donnie Darko, mm-hmm. And they still actually might have been involved for all I know. there were like, because I don't know all the ins and outs of who got involved, but there, you know, Ed Helms got too old to play Doug Kenny, right? So he was like, I'll just produce and wound up playing Tom Snyder in the movie.
That's right. That's right.
But so it kind of just, you know, you'd have these little fits and starts.
Yeah.
And that's
called Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah, that's called Hollywood. Yeah, right. But it never really got going.
And then I can assume that if I could just, from my own experiences, my guess is that it got picked up again. And then it just got really fast. Everything got really fast. It had to happen tomorrow. If it doesn't happen tomorrow.
It happened. It was like one day they were like, we're going in to meet with Netflix. The next day they're like, Netflix is in. And we just need to find a star. And then it was funny because they were, you know, they'd call me up and they'd ask me who I was cool with, you know, and they'd be like, what do you think about, you know, Bradley Cooper? And I'm like, you could exhume the body of Red Fox. Like, if you're going to make the movie, I don't care who flew, you know, I mean, I was like, go ahead, you know.
Yeah, right. Thanks for calling me, but right, yeah, right. I'll let you guys figure that one out.
Yeah, right. Right. I was like, Linda Lavin? Sure, you know, like, just go for it. And, but so we went through a couple different people, and then they started talking to Will Forte. And once Will Forte signed, it just was like, yeah. Every day, it was the weirdest thing because they'd be like, Joel McHale's playing Chevy Chase. You know, Emmy Rossum's playing Catherine Walker. Domhnall Gleeson's playing Henry Beard. You know, Tom Lennon's playing Michael. And it was just every day. And then there were all these like little parts. Like people were in the film for like 20 yeah, seconds. Like Paul Scheer.
Yeah.
Playing, from the league. Plays Paul Schaefer, yeah. Just playing piano behind, you know, Bill Murray in a fantasy sequence.
Was it like being on the set? What was it? I mean, was it surreal for you to be like, this? Oh my God, I wrote this story and now these guys are in these costumes.
Totally. I mean, just completely the weirdest. I mean, I'm going to sound like such a like innocent Midwesterner, but like, first of all, it's like the nicest group of people. I mean, one thing I noticed was they were having a great time making it, which I took to be a good sign. It was really fun. I mean, there's not much that's like more fun than hanging out on a set with like an enormously funny
group of
people.
And I was going to say, there are a lot of times where the writer, the book writer, once the screenplay gets optioned and they're on their way, they say, thank you very much. Here's your check. It was great to meet you. Thanks for the call. Click. We're going to do this ourselves. So it's amazing that they gave you said, hey, they want you to be involved. They want you to be at the set, to be at Sundance, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, they've been great about everything. And honestly, I mean, you know, and I've had done some other, you know, projects, you know, in Hollywood, like that are various stages, but like, I honestly, like, somebody will just be laughing at home listening to this. I haven't dealt with like some really awful person yet, you know,
whole process. Right?
It'll happen. I'm sure.
But
they were all great. You know, like the producers, David Wayne was amazing. All the actors were really cool. And you know, it was really fun. Because there's so much downtime on the set, and so they're just all entertaining themselves.
Oh my gosh! That's
and you know,
be great.
Sitting around listening to, you know, Joel McHale, you know, and Seth Green entertaining themselves was like hysterical, you know, and it was really fun. And I didn't feel, you know,
like a total outsider.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they talked to me, they were nice to me, they included me. You know, I could have been in the food fight scene. And I was like, no. They were like, do you want to go, you know, get in costume and do something? And I was like, no. Like, I was like, no, thanks.
Well, you should have done it.
So, I looking back, I should have. But they were super cool about everything.
What was it like, the anticipation? I mean, knowing that it's going to be on Netflix, but the Sundance, being in Sundance and knowing it being a film festival and a premiere, what was that like to know that you knew the script, you knew that you were on set, you saw some of it, but maybe hadn't seen the finished product? What was it like to be in a room with people seeing it for the first time?
Well, you know, I mean, one thing I knew was that you have no idea. You can have the greatest script in the world, you can have the greatest actors, the greatest director, everything can be perfect, and a movie can be terrible. You know, you everything that you observe,
right,
can, and or you can read an awful script and it makes a great movie. So yeah, it's kind of like, wow, I wonder what this is gonna be like. And actually, it's funny, I Domhnall Gleeson, who plays Henry Beard, who's just great, we were sitting in front of him at the premiere, and I kind of went over to him and I was like, hey, you know, I don't know if you remember me. He's like, oh, I remember you, you know, and he goes, have you seen the movie yet? And I was like, no, have you? And he goes, yeah. And he leans over and he goes, this is going to kill both of our careers. The whole thing is awful. He's like, really? He's like, you might survive because it's just your book, but my career, done.
It's over.
And so, like, and he was just, obviously just messing with me, but it was, you know, you kind of sit there and you're like, I don't know,
it could be true, right?
I don't know what this is gonna be like. But then, you know, once it started, it was just, you know, for me, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but it was just, they just did a great job, and it was just, it was fun.
Do you think that the film, and I loved it, it's on Netflix, Futile and Stupid Gesture, starring Will Forte, did it capture the spirit of Doug Kenny? Did it capture what you were trying to do in the book?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was different in some ways. In some ways, it was very similar. You know, they had to cover a huge amount of material.
Yeah.
But what I think the thing they, like you just said, capture the spirit, I think that was really what they did. They kind of said, you know, like, listen, I mean, because, you know, you read people and they're like, oh, what about the time when O'Donohue, did this? Why didn't they have that in there? Tony Hundred was a great contributor. You know, he didn't just do this and this. And so it was, you know, I thought really artistically they captured Doug's story. Will Forte gave just an absolutely unreal performance. I mean, that's a guy who can really do comedy and really be an actor.
Yeah.
And he captured, I thought he really captured who Doug was. So I loved it.
Well, congratulations, man. I think
it's awesome.
It's a great local story in the way that Doug Kenny had nothing really to do with Chicago, but the Chagrin Falls, Ohio. But the but knowing that you wrote the book and really being a champion of this film, you know, from afar, all of Chicago congratulate you on getting this film, making this film happen.
Well, I didn't make it happen. I just
really glad that the executive producer that you are, you got it done. So,
yes. Right. Well, thank you.
The book is called A Futile and Stupid Gesture, How Doug Kenny and National Lampoon Changed Comedy Forever. It's written by Chicago and Josh Karp. That book was turned into the film A Futile and Stupid Gesture, which is on Netflix now. Josh, good to see you, bud.
Thanks.